Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Good morning, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and it is my pleasure to spend time with you again today. We've had a very busy week here at CCTA. We attended multiple hearings in Raleigh. The Academic Standards Review Commission had a hearing that we attended on Monday, and that was followed by another hearing on the state's Certificate of Need laws. And we had a group of 10 people from CCTA attend those hearings, and just listening to what was going on during these hearings, the talk about our education, but then we got into the talk about our health care. And it reminded me of a speech that was given over 50 years ago by Ronald Reagan. And you know, some of us lived through those times and we've heard it before, but a lot of you young folks out there may have never heard it. And what it is it's a portrayal and a warning of socialized medicine. And that's exactly what we've ended up with the Affordable Care Act and things like the Certificate of Need law, which stifles the free market system and eliminates competition. So I want you to listen to what Ronald Reagan had to tell us over 50 years ago.
My name is Ronald Reagan. I have been asked to talk on several subjects that have to do with the problems of the day. It must seem presumptuous to some of you that a member of my profession would stand here and attempt to talk to anyone on serious problems that face the nation and the world. It'd be strange if it were otherwise. Most of us in Hollywood are very well aware of the concept or the misconception that many people, our fellow citizens, have about people in show business. It was only a generation ago that the people of my profession couldn't be buried in the churchyard. Of course, the world has improved since then. We can be buried now. As a matter of fact, the eagerness of some of you to perform that service gets a little frightening at times. Now, back in 1927, an American socialist, Norman Thomas, six times candidate for president on the Socialist Party ticket, said the American people would never vote for socialism. But he said, under the name of liberalism, the American people will adopt every fragment of the socialist program. There are many ways in which our government has invaded the precincts of private citizens, the method of earning a living. Our government is in business to the extent of owning more than 19,000 businesses covering 47 different lines of activity. This amounts to a fifth of the total industrial capacity of the United States. But at the moment, I'd like to talk about another way, because this threat is with us, and at the moment is more imminent. One of the traditional methods of imposing statism or socialism on a people has been by way of medicine. It's very easy to disguise a medical program as a humanitarian project. Most people are a little reluctant to oppose anything that suggests medical care for people who possibly can't afford it. Now, the American people, if you put it to them about socialized medicine and gave them a chance to choose, would unhesitatingly vote against it. We had an example of this under the Truman administration. It was proposed that we have a compulsory health insurance program for all people in the United States, and of course, the American people unhesitatingly rejected this. So, with the American people on record as not wanting socialized medicine, Congressman Farrand introduced the Farrand Bill. This was the idea that all people of Social Security age should be brought under a program of compulsory health insurance. Now, this would not only be our senior citizens, this would be the dependents and those who are disabled. This would be young people if they are dependents of someone eligible for Social Security. Now, Congressman Farrand brought the program out on that idea of just for that particular group of people. But Congressman Farrand was subscribing to this foot-in-the-door philosophy, because he said, if we can only break through and get our foot inside the door, then we can expand the program after that. Walter Reuther said, "It's no secret that the United Automobile Workers is officially on record as backing a program of national health insurance." And by national health insurance, he meant socialized medicine for every American. Well, let's see what the socialists themselves had to say about it. They say, "Once the Foran bill is passed, this nation will be provided with a mechanism for socialized medicine capable of indefinite expansion in every direction until it includes the entire population." Well, we can't say we haven't been warned. Now, Congressman Foran is no longer a congressman of the United States government. He has been replaced, not in his particular assignment, but in his backing of such a bill, by Congressman King of California. It is presented in the idea of a great emergency that millions of our senior citizens are unable to provide needed medical care. But this ignores the fact that in the last decade, 127 million of our citizens, in just 10 years, have come under the protection of some form of privately owned medical or hospital insurance. Now, the advocates of this bill, when you try to oppose it, challenge you on an emotional basis. They say, what would you do? Throw these poor old people out to die with no medical attention? That's ridiculous, and of course, no one has advocated it. As a matter of fact, in the last session of Congress, a bill was adopted known as the Kerr-Mills Bill. Now, without even allowing this bill to be tried to see if it works, they have introduced this King Bill, which is really the Foran Bill. What is the Kerr-Mills Bill? It is a frank recognition of the medical need or problem of senior citizens that I've mentioned. And it is provided from the federal government money to the states and the local communities that can be used at the discretion of the state to help those people who need it. Now, what reason could the other people have for backing a bill which says we insist on compulsory health insurance for senior citizens on a basis of age alone, regardless of whether they are worth millions of dollars, whether they have an income, whether they're protected by their own insurance, whether they have savings? I think we could be excused for believing that, as ex-Congressman Foran said, this was simply an excuse to bring about what they wanted all the time, socialized medicine. James Madison, in 1788, speaking to the Virginia Convention, said, "Since the general civilization of mankind, I believe there are more instances of the abridgment of the freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachment of those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations." They want to attach this bill to Social Security, and they say here is a great insurance program now instituted, now working. Let's take a look at Social Security itself. Again, very few of us disagree with the original premise that there should be some form of saving that would keep destitution from following unemployment by reason of death, disability, or old age. And to this end, Social Security was adopted. But it was never intended to supplant private savings, private insurance, pension programs of unions and industries. Now, in our country, under our free enterprise system, we have seen medicine reach the greatest heights that it has in any country in the world. Today, the relationship between patient and doctor in this country is something to be envied anyplace. The privacy, the care that is given to a person, the right to choose a doctor, the right to go from one doctor to the other. But let's also look from the other side at the freedom the doctor loses. A doctor would be reluctant to say this. Well, like you, I'm only a patient, so I can say it in his behalf. The doctor begins to lose freedoms. It's like telling a lie, and one leads to another. First, you decide that the doctor can have so many patients. They're equally divided among the various doctors by the government. But then the doctors aren't equally divided geographically. So a doctor decides he wants to practice in one town, and the government has to say to him, you can't live in that town. They already have enough doctors. You have to go someplace else. And from here, it's only a short step to dictating where he will go. This is a freedom that I wonder whether any of us have the right to take from any human being. I know how I'd feel if you, my fellow citizens, decided that to be an actor, I had to become a government employee and work in a national theater. Take it into your own occupation or that of your husband. All of us can see what happens once you establish the precedent that the government can determine a man's working place and his working methods, determine his employment. From here, it's a short step to all the rest of socialism, to determining his pay. And pretty soon, your son won't decide when he's in school where he will go or what he will do for a living. He will wait for the government to tell him where he will go to work and what he will do. In this country of ours took place the greatest revolution that has ever taken place in world's history, the only true revolution. Every other revolution simply exchanged one set of rulers for another. But here, for the first time in all the thousands of years of man's relation to man, a little group of men, the founding fathers, for the first time, established the idea that you and I had within ourselves the God-given right and ability to determine our own destiny. This freedom was built into our government with safeguards. We talk democracy today, and strangely, we let democracy begin to assume the aspect of majority rule is all that is needed. Well, majority rule is a fine aspect of democracy, provided there are guarantees written in to our government concerning the rights of the individual and of the minorities. What can we do about this? Well, you and I can do a great deal. We can write to our congressmen, to our senators. We can say right now that we want no further encroachment on these individual liberties and freedoms. And at the moment, the key issue is we do not want socialized medicine. Now, you may think when I say write to the congressman or the senator that this is like writing fan mail to a television program. It isn't. In Washington today, 40,000 letters, less than 100 per congressman, are evidence of a trend in public thinking. Representative Halleck of Indiana has said, when the American people want something from Congress, regardless of its political complexion, if they make their wants known, Congress does what the people want. So write. It's as simple as finding just the name of your congressman or your senator, and then you address your letter to that individual's name. If he's a congressman, to the House Office Building, Washington, D.C. If he's a senator, to the Senate Office Building, Washington, D.C. And if this man writes back to you and tells you that he too is for free enterprise, but we have these great services and so forth that must be performed by government, don't let him get away with it. Show that you have not been convinced. Write a letter right back and tell him that you believe in government economy and fiscal responsibility, that you know that governments don't tax to get the money they need. Governments will always find a need for the money they get, and that you demand the continuation of our traditional free enterprise system. You and I can do this. The only way we can do it is by writing to our congressman, even if we believe that he's on our side to begin with. Write to strengthen his hand. Give him the ability to stand before his colleagues in Congress and say, I have heard from my constituents and this is what they want. Write those letters now. Call your friends and tell them to write them. If you don't, this program, I promise you, will pass just as surely as the sun will come up tomorrow. And behind it will come other federal programs that will invade every area of freedom as we have known it in this country. Until one day, as Norman Thomas said, we will awake to find that we have socialism. And if you don't do this, and if I don't do it, one of these days, you and I are going to spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Well, there you go, folks. Do you see the parallels between then and now? Have we arrived at that point? It seems like it. Obamacare is nothing but socialized medicine, socialized health care. And we were warned, but we didn't heed the warning. How did we get here? And what do we do about it? Well, we're going to take a break right now and hear from our sponsors, and we'll talk about that later when we come back. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. We were talking about over 50 years of eroding away our freedoms and liberties and marching down the path to socialism, and a wonderful message from Ronald Reagan over 50 years ago. The last thing I asked you was, how did we get here? And what do we do about it? Well, folks, you know, we're not the only ones in the world in this predicament. Matter of fact, there's been big push for like one world government and global initiatives. You hear that all the time, and a lot of people want us to be more like the rest of the world. And you know, maybe we are. I'm gonna let you listen now to Pat Codell talk to us about our British counterparts.
Well, the only certainty about the coming election in Britain is that we'll end up with the wrong government, the one we deserve, as usual, because we always vote for people who know they can break every promise and still be elected. Now, one of the thornier issues in this campaign has been immigration. But we don't have an immigration problem in Britain. That's merely a symptom, and it's one of many. We have a democracy problem in that we don't actually have any say in shaping the society we live in. What we have is the appearance of democracy, where every 5 years we vote people in on a rainbow of promises who then give us the finger and do what they like. Or more often they do what they're told, which is to push through stuff that the people didn't vote for and don't want, and then we all wonder why we didn't get what we voted for again as we go out and vote for the same people again and again and again. They say a definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And we really don't have any excuses, because we know that all three establishment parties have lied and lied to us in the past. And not just fibs or little white lies, but significant, serious lies. And we know they're lying now too. And we know they're doing it because they know they'll get away with it, as they always get away with it, because we keep voting for them like a bunch of sheep. All the broken promises of yesterday, no rise in tuition fees, remember that one? All the cast iron guarantees, all the no ifs and no buts are all gone and forgotten. They got some shiny new promises now. See how they sparkle, you gullible muppets. Cameron reneged on his famous cast iron guarantee on an EU referendum as soon as he was elected. He couldn't wait to weasel out of it like a lawyer. And if we elect him again, he'll do the same thing again, because that's who he is. He doesn't want a referendum. None of them do. You see, democracy in Britain, or what we like to call democracy in our more darkly humorous moments, operates on the principle that the people are always wrong, and that whatever they want is always bad. Therefore, the less genuine representation they have in government, the better. After all, if the people had their way, we'd have all sorts of crazy, irresponsible policies. For example, we would not have gone to war in Iraq or Afghanistan if the people had had their way. Because the people didn't want those wars and made it loudly known at the time, but they were ignored and overruled because the massive egos of career politicians always know best. If the people had had their way, the bankers would not have been bailed out at our expense for their crimes against us and now be living the high life again on massive bonuses while we continue to pay off their criminal gambling debts. If the people had their way, there would be no private profit in the health service, and funding for the police and the armed forces would not be cut and cut and cut and cut again to make our society less secure and more dangerous while we increase the billions we already send in foreign aid to countries riddled with corruption, some with their own nuclear weapons. If the people had their way, this country would not be full of foreign terrorists and criminals we can't deport. Nor would we be talking about an immigration problem, because our membership of the European Union would have been decided long ago, democratically, if just one of the many promises of a referendum had actually been kept. And who knows, we might not still be pouring £50 million straight down the drain every single day for the privilege of taking orders from people we didn't elect and can't remove. Predictably, the opinion polls tell us that the usual suspects, the red and the blue, will get most of the votes in this election, as usual, because they have rival armies of tribal supporters who would vote for a donkey if they put it up as a candidate, and in many cases that's exactly what they do. Parliamentary time servers and safe seat holders who can be relied on to shuffle obediently through the lobbies and vote the way they're told. Occasionally they'll kick up a fuss for appearances, they stand up and huff and puff and make their little speeches, then they sit down and shut up and vote the way they're told. They call each other honourable this and right honourable that, but if they want a career, and they do, oh how they do, they have to be dishonourable and let themselves be bullied and pushed around like vassals on our behalf. They have to renege on every cast iron guarantee they've ever given and snuff out the voice of the people who elected them, and that's why we never seem to get what we voted for. That's why we have no control of our borders. That's why the bankers got away with their crimes, and that's why this country always seems to be at war somewhere in the world. Anyway, how will you be voting this time around? Same as usual?
There you go. Sounds like our country, doesn't it? Sounds like our Congress, our politicians. Sounds like an episode of Dragnet where they tell you the names have been changed to protect the innocent. Only there aren't any innocent in this situation. They're all guilty. And so are we, because we allowed it to happen. Well, folks, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. I hope you guys have enjoyed this morning trip down memory lane to Reagan years, and then listening to what's going on over in Europe with our British counterparts. I found it to be very interesting. The parallels are ironic, and you know, folks, what do we do about it? Well, like you said, are you going to vote the same way again? Are you going to keep on doing the same thing and expecting to get different results? If you are, it ain't happening. Folks, you got to finally realize what we're dealing with. And you've got to put your principles first. You've got to start looking at the character of the person that you're going to vote for. And not the campaign promises, not the party line, but is this guy really trustworthy? Is he going to do what he says he's going to do? Is there any record, any proof of the fact that you can trust him? Does he know the Constitution? Does he support and defend the Constitution? Will he stand by his word? And I say he, but it could be she, whatever. Will the candidate you're going to put your faith and trust in let you down? Or can you depend on them? That's what you've got to ask yourself. Because if we don't start doing a better job of electing moral, responsible people to these offices, then we're not going to get any different results than what we've already got. But it doesn't end there. You've also got to talk to your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, anybody you can get to stop and listen to you for a few moments and just share with them. Share this show with them. Give them information about what you have learned and what you've found out. Invite them to come to a class on the Constitution CCTA gives every week. You can find out more about what we do at our website, cctaxpayers.com. But what we really need from you is your participation, your involvement. We need you to get into carpools with us and go to Raleigh to the legislators. And we need you to make those phone calls and write those letters to your congressmen, senators. We need you to stand up for America. We need you to say enough is enough. I will not let my country fall to tyranny. Because that's where we're at, folks. If we don't stand up, the tyrants are going to take our country away from us. Look at yourself in the mirror. You're the one responsible for your safety, your security, your liberty and freedom, and the security of this country. If you keep on voting for lying liars and cheating cheaters and crooked crooks, then you're going to lose it all, and you're going to be responsible for it. So folks, get involved, get busy. It's time to go to work. We don't have much time left. Hope that you enjoyed today's program, and hope you'll tune back in next week at the same time. It will be rebroadcast on Tuesday at 6:30 p.m., and you can go to cctaxpayers.com to find out the latest news about what's going on within CCTA and scheduled events that are coming up and legislative reports and actions and watchdog committee reports. All that information is there online at cctaxpayers.com. Be sure to visit our Facebook page and our Twitter feed also.